So far where we are at in Corinthians, I believe is extremely important for us to always know as we read this book, or as we read this letter and study this letter. Last week we ended in the fact in Romans chapter 12, if you'll go to verse 6. Romans 12, 6. And I'm going to cut through this real quick because there's a lot that I want us to look at in the fact that as I studied this past week on this lesson, I kept seeing more and more and more application on where we need to be as a body of believers that share the same faith. That it's a lot more than just the fact that, well, Christ died for us now and we have it by grace and we're not under the law and the works don't pertain to us as far as showing what we believe. And it's an issue that if we're not careful, we come to a kind of people that can become very arrogant in what they are with their salvation. I mean, we can become that way very easily. I know I did, and I have been. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6, the Apostle Paul made the comment, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith." So see, we are in a period as Paul is writing this letter here in Romans, which was written, I believe, after Corinthians, but they were very close in time when they were written. The issue is these people of Corinthians, understand, had to have people that would come in and they would meet as we do as an assembly, and there were many that had different gifts, so they could be edified, so they could understand the doctrine of the revelation of the mystery of the gospel of the grace of God. For Paul to just preach that, it's as if a lot today think, well, that's enough. Well, it wasn't enough for them, and they didn't even have the completed word. There were instructions that were given for now that you believe this way, and now that you count on that towards your salvation, there is a lifestyle that takes place that is inside of you that will manifest itself on the outside. What for? Why is that important? Was it not important to you, just as it probably was to them, that others be saved for the hope of their eternal life? I mean, think about it, guys. How often do we get up in the morning and start our day with our attitude, and the issue is that there are many today that are deceived in this life that go to church. There are many that don't go to church that are deceived in this life that believe their eternity rests on something else. And a lot of them use the Word of God, thinking it rests on something that it doesn't rest on with their salvation. Well, if you're not indoctrinated into the truth, into knowing the revelation of the mystery of grace, then you're leaving them without hope because you can't be used. So there's a lifestyle that we live, and that's what Paul's given in this letter. Hey, as these assemblies come together, some prophesy, some teach, some are given gifts for all these things that we have in our Word now, and this is how you're to learn and how you're to grow as a body. And he's writing this letter in 1 Corinthians because he's gotten reports that with all that they've been taught and with all these gifts that they've been seeing, they have divisions. In other words, they're not living out the lifestyle that they need to live, that they're called to live. It was as if, well, we're saved by grace now. Isn't that the attitude that we see today with believers? It's like, well, I'll live the way I want to now. I'll take the liberty that I want to, and those things are not important. Well, that's the part of the letter that we're getting into that you need to see. But we need to understand why Paul says these things with the gifts is because they didn't have the completed word. You have the completed word. We have no excuse for what they have to what we have. That's what I hope you see in this study and in this letter. This proportion of faith is the issue of their doctrine and what they believe and where they get from what they believe. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's look at verse 4 through 7. And we're just going to move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 through 7. The Apostle Paul says, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." We remember why he's thanking them on God's behalf, because of what Christ did, not because of what they're doing. Verse 5. "That in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge." What's the issue? That they need to have the knowledge and the wisdom of this gospel that these people are bringing these gifts. By the way, how are we enriched in all knowledge and all wisdom? It's through the Word. So if you're not in it, chances are you're ignorant of it. You're ignorant of the lifestyle that you need to live. There's a responsibility that you have as a body of believers. As we share the same faith, as we learn to grow in Christ, you're only going to do it if you're in the Word. there may be some that are even here today or in other grace churches that are there for the same reason they were there in the Baptist church, the Presbyterian church, the Methodist church. They haven't grown in faith at all. They've just listened to somebody speak something. They never opened their word. That's a sad situation. Paul's hope for these Corinthians people is that they would be enriched, that they would be edified, that when they walk out the door, they have the confidence in knowing the truth and the fact of why they believe what they believe. And guess what? You don't have to wait for anybody to come with some special gift to give you anything because you have it in your hand in the Word. How sad is that, that we don't have a hunger of coming in here and sharing the same faith in what we've learned this week so as we can grow together as a body of believers? Instead, do we depend on the teachers just to do it? Because if that's the case, you're not being enriched at all. There's a lot of application in this that I find myself a lot of times just studying when I have to or just taking that time out. This should be the most important thing that we have when it comes to our eternity, and that should be the most important thing for us, is our spiritual life, not our physical. Because by the way, we're all dying physically. What is more important to you? Post on Facebook, a guy that I work with made the comment this week that he's making this prayer out loud that God would till the ground in him, and it was real pretty. Years ago, I would have thought, man, that's just beautiful. Yeah, but he's saying this, and he says, get ready for revival, Chattanooga. Tonight, the emergency rooms will see signs, wonders, and miracles. And man, that's how I went to town. And then after I typed so much, I thought, this guy ain't going to read this. And I just, maybe I'll have an opportunity just to say one thing, and maybe it'll open this conversation. But after what I got through with, I was so frustrated. And the fact that this is a nice, moral guy. I mean, he's a decent person. He loves his family. And he's just been taught totally and absolutely wrong. And the faith that he is sharing, that he wants others to grasp onto, is totally, absolutely, with no knowledge in what the Word of God says. And by the way, it's the same with you if you're not in your Word. And so there is responsibility. So in verse 5, he says, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind, here's the word, in no gift. By the way, there is nothing that you don't have that somebody else has when it comes to the gift. Did you realize that? This gift that Paul speaks of these people to receive if they're faithful in the family where these people would come in. If you notice, they all had to be faithful to receive this gift, didn't they? It was a fact that today, a lot of people just are not that faithful. They would miss that, wouldn't they? They would miss the knowledge. By the way, you have it in your hand. And so the fact that he says that even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So even though the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, is what he says, it was confirmed in them that they had these gifts, wasn't it? Because when they came together, they recognized there was these things that were going on that edified them, that proved to them that what Paul taught was absolutely right. These gifts wouldn't show without them. Without the gifts manifest, it would give evidence that they didn't have the testimony of Christ, wouldn't it? If they just came together as a group and they didn't have the Word of God, and people came in and there were no gifts and there was no manifestation of the Holy Spirit through people to show them the truth, what would it prove to them? The very fact that they didn't have the testimony of Christ. By the way, the very fact that as you read your Word through the week, as you make this supposed to be the very important thing, you know what it does? It manifests Christ in you through the Word that you have the gift and the knowledge of knowing His Word. And if you can't do it, it's hard to be confirmed in Christ and have the testimony of Christ, isn't it? It ain't an issue, well, my preacher says this. Can you actually go through life and say, the Word tells us this? There's a difference. And so that's Paul's hope in this letter. He's reminding them, I was with you a year and a half and even longer, and I'm reminding you of these gifts that were brought to you so that you could be enriched and that you could know what Christ said in His Word and it could be manifested. This word confirmation, I want us to look at. The word confirm means to make firm, or you could even say to establish. In Acts 14 and 15, you can even see Paul use this word. He was establishing saints and believers. By the way, that's what the Word does today, if you're in it. Go to Acts 14, look at verse 21. The Word of God says, now this is Paul, and it's before he had gotten to Corinthians, and this is this word confirmed that I want us to see. In Acts 14, 21, he says, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. Look what it says. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. You see the issue why Paul was going through here? It was to establish them through these gifts, and they were teaching them through these gifts to establish them so when they are out in the world or they are out with other believers that share the same faith, they can do what? Correct, reproof, and be made what? Perfect. Mark had brought it up in the Bible study this morning. We have the availability within us when we're saved to be made perfect. Now, I know that process is not through until the end when this flesh dies, because there are times I trust in my flesh when I should be walking in the faith and trusting in the Spirit. But as you study the Word, you become more perfect in all knowledge, and you become enriched in the fact that you can give the hope of eternity and doctrine to others that are deceived today out in the world. And the question I have, a lot of times as I read this, I thought, do I really care? I mean, surely to goodness, to see what God did and what Christ did, and the issue of salvation that He gave to us that He never gave to anybody else before us, surely it would make you hungry so that others could share the same thing. Or are we the type of people that just say, well, I've got it, and they don't, too bad for them? Because that's the way the world does today. It's about power, isn't it? It's almost as if we have the attitude of, well, we've got the power, we know what they... How sad is that? It's terrible. It shouldn't be. Look at chapter 15 and verse 40. Just one chapter over. Paul says, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. What's the issue? The grace of God. Verse 41. And he went through Syria and Cilicia. What did he do? He confirmed the churches, taught them, he edified them. The issue was so that they would come together as a body of believers and they would share the same faith. Today, the issue is you have the same confirmation in the Word. If you're not in it, you're missing it. You're missing the joy and the pleasure of it. We see here that he was fixing, or he was establishing them. In the same way, these were being established or confirmed by what? By the manifestation of gifts. When Paul wasn't there, there were others that the Holy Spirit would give them gifts, and they were given a proportion of the faith. The best way to me, as I can see it, is that there's the gifts of exhortation, there's the gifts of tongues, there's the gifts of, help me out, teaching, healing, prophecy. Everybody had a piece of the pie. If that one, the new prophecy, didn't show up to the assembly, what would happen? It'd be left out. These had the responsibility. Could you imagine if one had all these gifts? He thought he had something. But isn't it interesting to make sure that there was humility and to make sure that there was, they recognized that Christ was in them? These men would come in at these assemblies, and just like we come in with our Word, that's what they had. They had other men to share the proportion of faith. You know what? Is the Word complete today? That's why you're Pentecostal and you're charismatic, and it doesn't matter. Whatever the denomination, are ignorant when it comes, when they don't see that proportion of faith. Because it's complete in the Word. We don't need men coming in to help us understand the Word. What we need is to understand that because of what Christ did for us, and what I trusted in, that I count on for my salvation, to the fact that it changed my life so much that I recognize His love, that He manifests Himself through me as I learn more about Him and I understand my responsibilities as a body of believers. Let me tell you what, you affect the whole body if you're not in your Word, because you're not being enriched and you're not growing in knowledge. And you're even to the fact of affecting the responsibility that you have to give hope to the eternity of others that I don't see. And so a lot of times we think, well, it's grace, it's fine. Let me tell you something. You have a spiritual walk that you are called to do. Just because we're not under the commandments to see that we're sinners and we're going to hell doesn't mean we don't have a responsibility as a person that claims that they're saved through what Christ did. I mean, that's just the truth. There is a responsibility as a body of believers. And if it's not important to you, although you may be saved, you're affecting the whole body for the whole of eternity for others. That's sad. And let me tell you what, I'm not sitting here preaching this to you like I've got it. There is many of areas in my life to where the manifestation of Christ in me misses. There are but I guess the reason I'm passionate about it is because I see those areas. And I want you to understand that we get this and we grow through the Word. That's how we're enriched. So don't trust in other people. Trust in what the Word says. It's as important as what's more important to you. The things that I'm saying to you or the Scriptures that I'm reading to you? Should be the Scriptures. my example that I gave you, this ugly sermon, I mean, surely this may help you remember. Okay, that's what I hope it does. That's what helps me remember. But surely what you read in the Word is much more important. It should be. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Tell you what, now we're going to read verse 4 through 8 because it comes together. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Paul knew they had these gifts. He knew what they had been taught. And he was hearing divisions. And he's had problems. You know why? Because they weren't living the lifestyle that Paul called them to live. Verse 5. That in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus. Verse 8, which I think is extremely where we're going to touch on. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's so amazing to me in the grace movement. I'm so thankful that I understand what I count on for my salvation. But so many times, this is left out like, that's enough. Mark, you were talking about the verse you had in Romans about being righteous and being because of grace. There's so much more. And the hope is you understand that just because your ticket has been punched, as in what you said, just because you know what to count on your salvation, you don't ever have to doubt it. To understand, you will have a day where you are in front of Jesus Christ. And you will be judged. Amen? Understand, there is a responsibility. And I think we forget it. It's like, woohoo, we got it. I don't have to go to church anymore. I don't have to listen to what anybody says anymore. Hey, I was there. I can just do what I want. Let me tell you something. The manifestation of Jesus Christ says you can't. If you understand and you're enriched in the knowledge. Can I tell you the neat thing about it though? I don't say it in a way that, okay, I need to pick this 50-pound block up and put it back on your back. I'm not calling you back into bondage. I'm saying when you understand what Christ does and you start reading the Word and it changes the faith of what you believe, you know what happens? It becomes natural. You don't work for it anymore. The more you read, just the more natural I see in myself how this life of Christ becomes more natural in me. The more I read the Word, the more excited I get. So it's not like a pressure. It's not like I better do this or I'm going to have to kill an animal. It's the issue that now because I know this and I keep seeing how perfect this Word is, this calling on my life, the fact that I have every gift that they have through the Word. So it's a joy. It's a peace that I have. And that's what I would hope for y'all as you study your Word. The issue here is clearly that the Lord Jesus wanted them established. He was using the gifts given to many for this, right? Also notice the working here in verse 8. He says, notice that word, that ye may be blameless. So it seems there that there's a condition, doesn't it, after your salvation. Seems like there is a condition here afterwards. It doesn't say that you are blameless, but it says that ye may be blameless, doesn't it? Are there those who are not going to be blameless in the day of the Lord? Are there those who are going to be blamed in the day of the Lord? Absolutely. There are many today I believe are saved, but they live and they trust in the flesh again. You know what? When they stand before the Lord, they're going to be blamed. Because it says that they may be blameless. Look at some other scriptures. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 8 and 9 and 10. Apostle Paul says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, what's he say? We what? Labor. He says, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be what? Accepted. So if we could be accepted, that means we could be what? He's preaching to save people, right? You can be accepted in the Lord. Can I tell you something? On that day of judgment, you could be unaccepted too. The issue is with your doctrine and with your faith and with what you believe. It says, that ye may be accepted of Him. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat. Now he says all, don't he? So that's everybody. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You think there's not a lifestyle that you need to live as a body of believers through your flesh? The Bible says there is. If we're the body of Christ, there's a responsibility as the body. Now this isn't the conversation of being saved from hell. This Paul and Ned sharing, it ain't about you being saved from hell. It's the issue that after salvation, the gifts that you'll receive. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Sounds like it's going to be wide open, ain't it? It's going to be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Sounds like there's a huge responsibility after we understand the grace of Christ. That's where I made mention this morning in Bible study that Mark brought something to my attention. It's amazing today that we can go back before the law and we can see that there were statutes that God put on man. Adam and Eve could not partake of what? The tree. After that, we know that Cain and Abel had sacrifices to give. So we see that there were things that they had to follow. And then after that became the law, and there were the commandments to show them that they were sinners and God is perfect and they had to pay for their iniquities so that they would go into remission. And then all of a sudden, Paul receives this revelation of the mystery because Christ knew that man could never do it. And so he was going to deal with man differently on the basis of his salvation. And we've got the idea because that became, we're free. Why in the world would a holy God put so much before the law on man, put so much after the law on man, put so much on man while Christ walked the earth for them to be counted as holy, and then he goes ahead and he takes care of the issue himself as if to say, live however you want to now. Do you think a holy God would just say, wipe the slate clean, come on into Kmart or Walmart, get what you want, live the way you want to because Christ is taking care of it? No. This issue, Christ died for you for your salvation, and you can count on that. But there's a lot more to this life to do. Do you think that we don't have to be responsible? Why would God make man before the law responsible? Why would he make man responsible during the law? Why would he make man responsible while Christ walked the earth, and then all of a sudden, because he died for you, you don't have to be responsible anymore? And he's going to give you the word just in case you want to read it. Surely we can think God has more sense than that. You know what he wants? He wants you to know him. And what he did for you, and the fact to let himself manifest in you, so why? So not only do you have the peace of God, your salvation, you can have peace with God. Just because he died for you because of the grace of Christ doesn't mean that he doesn't want to have a relationship with you. There's still a relationship process. And if you're not in your word, you're not enriched. You miss the knowledge, and you remain ignorant. And not only do you miss the relationship with Christ, but you also hurt those around you that could have the hope of eternity. There's a huge responsibility in this body. As we share the same faith, there's a lot more than, okay, that's it. Next Sunday, this is what we'll go into Corinthians. We should have attitudes when we come back. Paul, let me tell you what I read this week. I never noticed this before. It should be the issue that in youth, that you guys have things to share with Jamie of what you shared, of what you read this week. There should be as families sit around the Thanksgiving table this year, and they eat, and they talk about their past, and they talk about things that are new, and some of them are bragging about what they have, and some of them, you know, I know there's that thing that goes on, but shouldn't it be the same way with this body of believers that we have such a relationship with each other that I consider spiritually, as you're my sister and my brother in Christ, and it should be every bit as important as it should be when we sit around physically with our blood family? It's not, I know.
Because that's a family. We understand. I know how I was raised, but
in all fairness to Christ, what would be more important? Thanksgiving with those you have to share the same faith with because you're in the Word together? Or Thanksgiving to your family that you need to be given the hope of eternity to, whether they get mad at you or not? Because that should be the most important thing. But it's not. You know why? Because we're typically not in the Word. We take grace as a free gift, a free ticket, free punch. You got, I got it. You may not. I hope you get it. It's kind of the attitude that we can gain if we're not in our Word. That's pathetic. As I study this, I see so many holes in my life that whether people get mad at me or not, I really shouldn't care. It should be the issue that I'm loving them, and if it makes them mad, it's because they remember what I shared because of how I'm really rich. That doesn't mean I'm going to walk through the door like a bulldozer and be a jerk. I need to be gentle and tender-hearted, and I need to allow the Word to speak and not what I think. The only way we can get that is if we know the Word. So if we don't know the Word, you know what you're going to be like? What's it say, a clanging cymbal? That's what you're going to be like. Or a bully. The issue is, what's so cool about this, the issue is I don't have to worry about it. I've got to take care of what I've got to learn. So many times I think we measure ourselves by who each other is or what other problems are, and we think, we must be pretty good. If you're not enriched in the Word, and there's no manifestation, your relationship is sad. although your ticket's punched.
You have nothing when you stand before Christ.
There's so many more verses that we'll go through next week. Unbelievably. I tell you what, if you want to real quick write these down, you can go to Ephesians 1:3, 3, and 4. You can go to Philippians 1:1-6. Galatians 4:19-20. Colossians 1:26-28. There are so many things that says, you may be, you should be. All these things that I miss because I'm thinking, grace, grace, grace. There's a lifestyle. And if you share the same faith I do, I hope you're convicted of it if you're not. I really do. I was. And I see areas in my life that need to be more complete.